Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Pardonable Podcast. I'm your host, David Lilly, and this is episode 59. We're almost to 100. We're only like 41 away. Almost there, guys. This episode, I got a great guest, and we're going to be talking about art and memes and how they collaborate and what people are using memes for and meme-warring and meme-lording and meme all the meme things you can think of. I'm not super intelligent when it comes to memes. I've just been paying attention to like what other people tell me what memes are, but apparently they go back and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about how much it influences the culture and things around that. But before we get to that, I wanted to say happy Thanksgiving, happy belated Thanksgiving. This is probably coming out like 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. I had a great one. I hope you had a great one. I will tell you one of my pet peeves real quick. You know, that thing people do at Thanksgiving where you're like, go around the table and tell me what you're thankful for. That's the thing I hate the most about Thanksgiving. Everything else is great. That part. Don't put people on the spot. They're thankful. They're there. They're sitting with you. You don't need to ask them, hey, you thankful of being here? Yeah, of course I'm here, aren't I? Anyway, I just want to start off with a little rant about that. But I did want to say that I am thankful for you if you're watching this right now or listening, watching or listening. And I really appreciate you doing so. But I'm also still going to ask you to like and subscribe. So if I'm thankful for you and you're thankful for me, like and subscribe. And do that whole thing. You know what people talk about. Whatever you listen to this to on Spotify or the Apples or the YouTubes, hit that like and subscribe button. I might be doing live streams here coming up shortly. But that subscriber count really means something. Apparently, they don't want just any rando live streaming whatever without having some subscribers or whatnot. So do that for me. That'd be great. And if you're like, I really, really like this podcast, you can go to pardonablemerch.com. Got a shirt that's semi-new up there. Jean-Claude Van Damme from the movie Bloodsport. It's a great movie, and it's an even better shirt. And you can got that right now, and you can sport that all around town. People are like, what is this, the 80s? You'd be like, in my head, it is. And I wish it was the 80s. Anyway, go there, support the podcast, use promo code podcast, get 15% off. Anyway, my guest this week is a good friend of mine. He's on social medias as Infinite Zeal. His name is Joel Ellenwood. He's a meme lord. He creates all these cool memes and spreads them around the internet and just is ruining society as we talk right now. He's doing it. He's probably memeing right now. He's a good guy. He's been a friend of the podcast for a while. And I've been watching his meme career for a minute and been fairly impressed. And I was like, you know, I want to talk about art and memes. And I need somebody to talk to about this. And he was the best. And he's, I mean, just all around great cyber bully. And I'm a pretty big proponent about bringing bullying back. And what great way to start with cyberbullying. So anyway, without further ado, here's my guest this week, Joel Ellenwood. Joel, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
I appreciate
man.
It. And I like, again, I'm Joel Ellenwood. I just like to post memes on Twitter or X. If you like memes, underscore Infinite Zeal, that's where you'll find me. And I like you. I on Thanksgiving, I do personally, I don't know if detest is a strong enough word. The going around, what are you thankful for? Like, I'm just like, I'm thankful, you know. If I wasn't thankful, I wouldn't celebrate Thanksgiving, wouldn't participate. But one thing I am thankful for is memes. And so I think we definitely have that in common.
Yeah, we don't do that in my family. And I'm actually thankful that we don't go around saying what we're thankful for. And so there's a lot of Thanksgiving is about being thankful. You just don't always have to say
I'm not thankful for that part of it. Yeah. I mean, we're all having a good time. We're hanging out with each other. That should be, should speak for itself.
That's what I think. I'm with you on that one. All right, man. So you are what they call a meme lord. Is that correct? Do you know what a meme lord is? You know how to Google this?
As far as I understand it, meme lord is just someone that makes a lot of memes, a meme dealer. You know, you're distributing memes out to people to, you know, to circulate. Okay. Meme lord, meme dealer. For people say that they have to go to work at the meme factory. You know, it's like a full-time commitment. So however you want to call it. Yeah, just I'd like to make memes and cyberbully the government, basically.
Cyberbullying the government. So for everyone listening, they're like, what is it meme? What is this meme thing? If you don't know what it means, I don't know where you've been for the past 2 decades, But if you were really like, I'm not sure what a meme is, do you guys remember back in, this is for all the listeners, do you remember back when Facebook was popular and people kept taking those stupid minions, the little yellow cyclopses from the Disney movie, and they would put some weird caption underneath it and like, Mondays are hard. We got to make sure I have my coffee. And it was always like a minion. That's pretty much where I think memes started. But according to this article in Politico, I'm not going to pull it up. You can go there. They talk about memes being coined by Richard Dawkins. Joel, did you know Richard Dawkins coined the term meme?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I remember like seeing memes when I was like on Facebook. Yeah, it was like I seen the minion one, and then there was one with like I seen a lot. It was like a dinosaur or something. And it was just whatever caption, and that was, you know, there's like only two or three that you would just see different words on. I had no idea Richard Dawkins was involved in the meme culture.
Yeah, I had no idea. It's probably the only good thing he's brought about in the past 40 if
that,
years.
I would like to get a fact check on that, though. Just coming from Politico, you never know.
Dude, exactly. I was about to say, that's why I'm not even pulling the article up, because I was like, I don't want to get, you know, community noted or whatever they do on whatever platform. Be like, no. All this meme stuff he's talking about, that's totally wrong. But I read that and I was like, that's interesting, because basically what a meme is, for everybody listening, it's like an instant image, or has like words on it, but you know, facial expression or some form of imagery to portray like some form of content, like a message behind it. And so what, Joel, what you do is you make your, a lot of people will take like common memes that are out there, and there's meme generators. I've done this before, where you just type in like, this is what I want the meme to say. That's the only way I know how to make memes, but there's a whole nother art skill to it. Can you tell me about that? Like, how you come up with this stuff?
As far as the art side, I don't want to, now there are plenty of memes out there that are like artistic, to a degree. And I don't want to sit here and say what I'm, any of my memes are like art. I feel like that's, I don't want to water, be disrespectful to real art. I know you're an actual artist, and you, but some of the stuff you've made is just breathtaking. With the Photoshop element to it, now that's when I can get more. I can say, okay, this is art. Like if it's like kind of, I don't know, you're taking people's like heads and putting them on, you know, and then you can't really tell. So that side of it. Now what I do, like honestly, like, when I'm bored, I'll go, there's these sites, they just have meme templates. You just Google meme template, and there's a site. And I just go through, and I just save the ones that I think will be funny or I could use for something in the future. And then I just have a Photoshop app. I go in, and then I put whatever captions I want on there, whatever I want it to say. And then basically just whenever I'm, you know, and just have them ready to go. Or there's some... I don't know, it'll be, there's something will just happen, like, I don't know, it's something that just recently happened in the news, like, that thing in Canada with the, so something that, and then I'll just have, like, you know, I'll just, okay, and I'll just go look at all the templates, okay, this one will fit for this, and then just go, you know, so I don't really think for myself, I don't want to sit here and say it's, like, art. I take pictures, and I put words on them, and then hopefully, you know, someone in the government will be, like, offended or something, like, you know, that's basically, like,
that's the reward.
That's my like quote unquote like inspiration, yeah. I guess, for like coming up with a meme.
I'm gonna disagree with you. And I've had this not conversation. This is why I've been holding to have this conversation. I think, and I'm not a huge art guy. I'm what they call an outside artist. I didn't go to school for it. I've just been in the scene for a while, and I just started.
Well, that doesn't mean you're not. Now, see, then they get you. It's like, oh, well, you didn't go to, so you don't have this certification, so you're not. That doesn't make you not an artist.
I'm not saying I'm not. I'm saying I'm an outside artist, which probably means I'm better than most artists that went to school.
Probably, yeah.
Because I did all on my own. I wasn't networked in. There was no any kind of weird. That's what I hear from art schools a lot. It's like you kind of get in, you meet the professors, they know gallery owners, and just kind of work your way, which is the smart way to go about doing art. That or learn how to money launder, which I'm going to probably do a podcast about that too. But that's one thing I have not figured out. Once I figure it out, everyone listening, you'll know my whole, I'll have like a green screen. It'll be great. I think memes might be the best way to encapsulate our generation's modern art. So like modern art, and you've seen like all of the, if you can go to anywhere like the MoMA or whatever, and any museum that has modern art, I want to do a whole episode about how awful it is, because the majority of them are horrifically bad. But once you get into like reading about like, well, why did they, you know, why did they duct tape a banana to a wall? You start to find out like all of it. The whole point of that is like a bit of a performance art. It's to send a certain message. It's like the opposite. Oh, it's actually, it's kind of what those climate change activists do, where they go and deface a piece of artwork to get the message across. Like basically we're trying to, it's an oxymoron way to say, we're doing a performance piece that's ruining another piece to get our message across. So the whole point of the art thing with the duct tape of the banana is to kind of get people to think, to critically think about like, well, how is this selling so much money? And I think that particular piece at Art Basel, do you know what I'm talking about? The banana?
Yeah, tape wall? I have. Yeah, I've seen that.
The thing sold for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I think the whole point, and it's a bit of a Banksy concept, the whole point was to prove how asinine this whole thing is. And so I don't know if that's it. I did a little bit of research back in the day, but there was conflicting articles, so I don't know what to go with. But the whole point of good art, especially modern art, is to encapsulate your culture and your generation at that time and express it in a particular image, like you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. So there is a meaning behind that particular modern art, even if it's absurdism, which I hate absurdism art. And the message behind absurdism art is that it's absurd and there is no message. That's how dumb these people are. If you're an absurd artist out there, you're like, that's not what it, and then I'm the dumb one, but that's what's coming off. But yeah, I mean, and that's why I disagree. I think memes are the new version of modern art that we have today. I mean, besides like movies and music, it is the most common way people take an art form that's available to them and to spread it out with a particular message. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so basically, even if it's just a template, it's taking whatever, because if you were to take one of your meme, like you said, you save a few of them and you're like, oh, this thing happened up at Canada, I have to go through and find the one that fits. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes it kind of fits, but sometimes you nail it and you're like, oh my God, this meme's, you know, a year old and this works perfect. And that in itself is a form of communication through an art piece, which is just, you can, it with three words and then this image, you know exactly where you're going with and going for. And so that's why I disagree. I think memes are our generation's version of real modern art, because it conveys a message. How do you feel about that?
I would definitely agree that probably just about any meme anyone makes is more artistic than a banana duct tape to like a canvas or something. So, or the rationale behind, you know, some of these pieces is, it's like, or it's like, oh, it's just how brazenly they can like commit tax fraud in front of people. Look, we're just doing it with this, you know. So look at like, yeah. So, but definitely yes, it's and one of the reasons I love memes is because, like you've said, you're like that's my, I'm not very smart. And so I have a hard time like expressing my thoughts through like words. And I think memes perfect. Like I find like I can perfectly say what I'm trying to with a meme, with a picture in a caption or something. Yeah. And honestly, to a degree, I mean, it's just kind of like a running joke is like, you can basically like get news from like memes and find out what's going on in the world from a meme. And it's going to be more accurate than anything you hear from like corporate media or like the government when they put out a statement about something. It's like, that's like a lot of BS and propaganda. Whereas a meme really kind of gets it down to the essence of what something is like, or it can just demonstrate how absurd, like this politician is or this law or whatever, like, or lockdowns or whatever. That's the great thing about it, is when, and some memes are good. They're just, you know, they're good for humor and make you laugh or something, but when there's really like, you can get like, you can see what the point behind it is. Like, oh, this is, you're making fun of like Nikki Haley, like this disgusting like war pig monger who sold her soul. That's blatantly obvious with this, you know, meme. And then that's when I'm like, that's what brings me the most joy about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what brings me the most joy. I actually love that. And you have a, and we'll talk about where people can go find this, but you have a t-shirt that you came out with. So you've moved beyond meme making into merch selling. Right?
Yeah, I have a couple shirts.
Okay, it's for sale.
I have the Nikki Haley War Pig shirt, and I have one for Lindsey Graham too. I live here in South Carolina, so that's my senator, and she's the former governor of South Carolina. So, and basically with that is those shirts and even any memes I have making fun of Nikki Haley being a war pig or Lindsey Graham is, like, I don't think, now I believe, you know, I was raised in a Christian home and everything, and we should be kind to people. I try to be kind and encourage the I meet. But with one exception, like, there's no reason to, like, respect or revere people like Nikki Haley or like Lindsey Graham or some of these folks. They're just, like, to me, that's the, I don't know, absolute worst kind of person. Like, you're a war profiteer. Like, you're selling your soul out.
That's pretty bad.
So, like, I mean, that's however you want to spin it for, like, the something democracy or whatever BS reason. You're an empty suit and you sold your soul to military contractors because, like, now you're going to benefit financially through dropping bombs on other countries. So to me, that's a great reason to meme somebody. And if I can just get anybody to, like, have a little bit of less respect or even, like, just delegitimize, like, a politician or just something in the eyes of somebody else, then I think that's, like, yeah, job well done, basically, is. It should be, for me, a good meme is you're ridiculed. There's some, like, snark. No, don't make stuff up. You know, you want to be accurate and portray the person who they are, maybe exaggerated a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think when I have a shirt with Nikki Haley's face with a pig, and says war pig, that this is the essence of who she is, at her core.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the best part about a meme is and you can really start to use it against or target, like, just the worst kind of people we have, which are in our government generally. So, in my opinion.
Yeah, most of the time, or at least known, because I mean I've seen people get memed. That aren't in government, and it's well deserved as well.
Corporate media is, like, basically, like, an extension. The corporate media is basically to me like state media, so that's just all one big umbrella.
It's all one big, all ready and willing to be cyberbullied. All willing, but see, that's the thing, man. And this is why. So here's where it gets. This is the beauty of memeing as an art form, because of what you just said, but. I want to veer back. I want to circle back. There is the thing about, like our, everyone talks about, like, Hollywood's controlled and, you know, there's only certain media corporations. And I think Peterson brings this thing up, the Pareto principle. There's 80% versus 20%, 20% of the people getting all the attention, while 80% of the people are, you know, whatever that thing is. So when it comes to artists, like famous artists, I'm not one. And there's a ton of me out there. We're just good at what we do, but we're not famous to it. But there is, like, a small handful of famous artists. And if there's only a small handful of famous artists who are doing the work of, you know, whatever, getting a message out or trying to help the populace, you know, critically think or explore their ideas of what this might mean, then it can be easily controlled because there's only, like, five of them. You know, like, oh, you know, I know Van Gogh. You know, Van Gogh sold out to this thing and, you know, they're in this pack or whatever. But when it comes to memes, it's like every man can make one and join in. And the best part is the concept of the repost or the reshare or the retweet. Because then you can take something and move it quickly versus it having to be, like, bought or sold or, you know, having to get media attention. It's such a spread. And I think that's where the Richard Dawkins thing came in, because he was basically talking about memes spreading almost virally, like a virus throughout society. I don't think he was saying it in a good way. I think he was criticizing, but, like, this is awful. It's like a deadly virus.
Yeah.
But really, but what you said, and I think this stands out and is going to lead into my next question. Memes don't work unless there's at least an air of truth to it. You know, and it needs to have some form of analogy built in. like, that's what makes, to me, that's what makes a good meme. It's like there's a, you know, a famous cartoon character. It's like the Muppet doing the side eye, you know, like, or it's, you know, Kermit the Frog sipping tea. It's got to be something that's juxtaposed, you know, like if it's lighthearted, like it's Kermit. It's, everyone loves Kermit. And then it's, you know, him minding his own business, you know, him looking away from Epstein client list or something like that. That's what makes it good. So here's my next question, because I'm leading up to it. Joel, why can't the left meme?
I don't know. I just don't know. It's because I think the left has no sense of humor.
I think that might
like
be
anything
part of
that's
it,
actually yeah. funny has been like, you know, these comedians, like guys, like just think about like when Ricky Gervais hosted, what did he host, the Oscars or something?
Yeah.
And just how like appalled people were at anything that he said. So there's no sense of humor because it's all like PC. This or that, you can't make fun of this group, this or this marginalized special group, or so there's no sense of humor. Two, there's and when lefties meme, it's more of like a lecture.
Yeah, feels like
so, and that's how they do stand-up comedy too, or like a TV show. It's just, it's like you watch, like it's just you're getting lectured about stuff.
Yeah.
And they and first of all, it's not concise. It's literally just like someone's whatever quote bubble, and then it's like a freaking like paragraph you got to read, and then there's so you got to be able just to look at a meme and like basically know instantaneously or pretty quickly like what's the point of it, not without doing having to do like, you know, needing a bookmark because like you got to just stop and come back and read it later because there's just incoherent.
Yeah.
So I think largely there's no sense of humor on the left. There's no like, you have to be able to make fun of yourself, have some self-awareness, and actually know what's going on like in the world. And like you said, there has to be the element of truth there. So a lot of the stuff they're talking, like a lefty meme is like, oh, like, because their stuff's going to be like, oh, Trump's like Hitler. He's Hitler. He's like the world, you know, the world's going to end, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So that's just anyone with a rational brain knows that's just nonsense. That's Trump derangement syndrome. Now, if you're going to make fun of Trump for like, I don't know, you know, Julian Assange getting indicted, or like I have a meme. It's like, it's called "Make America Great Again" starter pack, and it's got like a Assange indictment, gun control, lockdowns, vaccine. Like, so if you have the stuff you actually did, like, you don't have to like go and make stuff up. Like he's hitting. Like that's just, you know, that, yeah, the left are just out of their mind 99% of the time. So no
true.
Sense of humor, not knowing what's going on, no self awareness. Everything is just like. Again, they think they can't. They don't know what gender is. So, I mean, how are you going to be able to make a good meme? So,
yeah, that's a good point.
I don't mean the left as much as I should. I most of my memes I'm going like rhinos, Republicans, and stuff. So,
well,
because it's just so it's just so like it's
easy.
Yeah, it's too easy. It's just low hanging fruit. It's like, I mean, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's like kicking a toddler on a playground.
Yeah.
Like it's just not. Eventually, it's funny for the first few times, you're like, ah, this is just abuse every time you meme left. Although they're asking for it, and they're coming all the time with their awesome too long didn't read memes. I think you're spot on, man. I think the key component to a good meme is humor. And I think the other thing that you said before, the truth. I think if you can combine those two, and I don't know why certain people have it and then certain people don't. And I would say it's like, well, of course, it's their voting record. I mean, I've seen right wing memes that fall short, but it's almost like they're already not good at art, so it's rare to find that. Whereas in lefties are like, we are the arts, we are the arts, you know, believe us, we are the science. And so they're so audaciously like, this is my jam, right? Political art. Look at this picture of Trump. He's got tiny hands. You know, it's like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess thumbs up, everybody. You did a great job. They're all super, they're either so blatantly caricatured of just like a something that no one finds. Like this is like, it was funny in 1968. Like your grandma would laugh at it. But now, or it's a lecture, or it's like a giant word bubble, or and it's always so stale, and it makes me sad because a lot of my artist friends who are on the left side, they're good artists, Not many of them are I guess super funny, but the good artists that I know that lean to the left, they're not really political at all. They could care less. And so it makes me wonder if all the artists are not either not political or they haven't picked up on memes, because the right wing memeing, well, I guess it lines up with the comedy thing, right? Like you said, Ricky Gervais, like we all know that comedians that are funny are just right wing now. I don't think they did that. They're just put in that camp now. And so I think when you do that, all the left camp meme kind of just makes it, well, anybody who's good at it isn't on the left anymore. And so maybe that's what it comes down to. So left camp meme, it's not because people don't have left wing views. It's because if they're slightly funny, they're kicked to the right. And so that might be it, man. I'm not sure what to make of that. I kind of wish they were better at it. Only because it would seem like a fair fight. And it's really not. Like, I make the joke about kicking the toddler on the playground, but I don't know how many times I've seen a left-wing meme and then all the comments are like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
what is this? And it's nothing but, and then there's that one comment like, exactly. And you're like, grandma, get off the Twitters. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how to go with that one, but I do like that. Do you know anything about the great meme war of 2016?
I don't know that specifically off the top of my head. That's before my time.
Okay, so it's a bit before mine. The first time I voted was in 2018. So there's this big thing that people talk about only online. No one outside of online knows about this. I didn't know about it, and I'm online too. But it's called the Great Meme War of 2016. Basically, what it was is they equate all the memes got Trump into office. He basically memed into office. And so I did some research. I was Googling, and apparently there was so much, because this is before, I think, anyone who was, see, I don't know. Apparently a lot of it started on 4chan and Reddit. Probably. And it was just, yeah, and it was just the most absurd stuff. But they all seemed to coalesce behind Trump, probably from their hatred of Hillary. And she was kind of easy to meme. She had such a storied past that if you were anywhere similar to the right or center or libertarian, Hillary was really easy to kind of just make fun of. But they all like congregated around Trump, and it was nothing but an onslaught of meme after meme on the internet being shared around, altered, moved. And people, because that's such a viral thing to send out to the, you know, the world. Apparently people believe that Trump got into office because of memes, and that's the great meme war of 2016. So I had to look that up, and I was like, I wasn't politically involved then, but it did make me think about what's about to happen in 2024. And so what are your thoughts in general about next year? If anything, you'd be like, well, you know, Marvel sucks, so there's
my general thoughts on 2024 is, and just in general, how I try to see things is, like, I don't know what's going to happen in 2024. I can't control what's going to happen in 2024. Even people that say, you know, if you don't vote, you can't complain, that's like insinuating, like, if you vote, you have some sort of, like, control over what's going on. Like, so, like, I don't know. So who the hell knows? I have no control over what happens in government, what's going to happen with the elections, what's kind of nonsense is going to be pulled, it could be, there's just so much, like anything's possible. And I think that's personally a major, like, white pill is, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't control it. What I can't control, control, and I personally don't care, like whoever's going to be president, like, it's not going to change, like, what I'm trying to do with it's my life or what I'm trying to, like, accomplish. Like to me, it's like, it doesn't make no difference to a degree. Like, now, yeah, there could be more, like, you know, it might be harder than meme because, you know, maybe some sort of new bill or whatever getting passed. That's that. But like I said, the only thing I can control is myself and how much I am like continue like memeing. And I guess I think that's like important. Yes, I enjoy it, but I regard these people like as so like just disgusting and like evil, basically. Like I have like a duty like to be like constantly as cyberbullying them as much as possible. So I can control that part. I can control that that I do that. So I'm looking forward to 2024 because I know the content is just going to be crazy. Who knows what they're going to what storylines are going to come up with now. And I guess I'm looking forward to it for that. Like I said, there's probably some concerns with, you know, they're pushing hard with the censorship and all these other things. and yes, they're going after like political prisoners and whatnot and all that kind of thing. So there are a couple things to be concerned about. I generally, I try not to get too worried about what's going on in politics. I can't control it, but I'm going to be memeing a lot. And I'm looking forward to the amount of like, I'm looking forward to when Nikki Haley comes back around to South Carolina in 2024 for like the primaries. I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to have a great time. Looking forward.
For sure.
So, you know, Lindsey Graham's going to come out pretty soon and probably want to start nuking half the country's on the. I hope we don't do it, but I'm looking forward to that.
Par for the course.
I'm looking forward to all of it. So, because it's going to come. 2024 is coming. It's going to be here whether we like it or not. So we might as well. Like, there's the meme of, I have a meme of, there's a guy playing the piano and the piano's on fire. And the guy's playing, and then on the fire, I have the collapse of the American Empire, and then I have on the piano, like, memers. So it's like, yeah, the world's on, and there's variations of that one, like a guy mowing the lawn, and there's, like, a tornado in the back. So it's like, yeah, there's going to be a bleep show. It's going to be a lot of crazy things going on. But we can still meme, and we can still enjoy it as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm actually pretty optimistic. No, I'm where you are, where I'm a bit white-pilled. I'm a bit optimistic, but only in the fact
optimistic.
That it, well, there, you kind of have to. And I think that, well, I don't know if that's for everybody. So let me explain. I don't have high hopes for this next year, 2024, as in like high hope. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to wake up and we're like, oh my God, gas prices are down again. And there's rainbows. There's triple rainbows in the sky. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be an easy year on Americans. We'll just say that. I don't expect people's finances to get any better. I don't expect the housing market to just all of a sudden, the bubble popped. Let's go buy a house for $5. I don't think it's going to get easier for anybody, or at least not anybody under like that top whatever percent. And I hope it gets more difficult for politicians and people, the corporate media and all that. I hope it gets difficult for them to do their job, through memes and through popular culture and stuff like that. I hope it makes their life difficult, which we can already see. Like, I'm starting to see political figures like just go off the handles. And that's not just like main, like, you know, like the normal people on MSNBC. Like, I was listening to a guy, he's like, we can't have Trump because, you know, like, this will be the last time we ever vote. And it's like, okay, easy up. This is too easy. Please stop. Bring it down a little bit. But they're already starting to, like, freak out. And they have a whole year of people coming out with more memes. But it's not just them. Like, think about, like, I love the fact that Ron DeSantis is getting memed about his cowboy boots. I love it. I'm here for it. I'm all for it. Because you kind of need to get better at this. Like, if he was going to run the country, I'd least like for him to be able to take people calling out on his high heels and then being like rolling with it or coming up with a joke or like being able to be a person who can take a joke and laugh about it and move on. But he's shown himself not to be able to do that. So I'm all for it. All right, fine. Dude, show your cards. I like that people are struggling to keep a handle on this popular culture, especially when memes are floating around there, like, you know, Nikki Haley being a war pig. I didn't know much about Nikki Haley until that debate, and I was like, who is this lady? And then I just kind of started picking up, and then I saw your shirt, and I was like, yeah, this all starting to make sense. And I'm glad I can go on Twitter and see Infinite Zeal's you know, Nikki Haley's a war pick, because I'm like, I thought that same thing. Oh, now somebody else is doing it. And so instead of there just only CNN or only Fox News or only this, there's people out there making good art and communicating a message that you don't always feel alone. And to round off this rant, the reason why I'm white-pilled is because even if things get bad, pretty much what your meme was talking about, you have to have people laughing. Like, sometimes things get so bad, all you can do is laugh. And if you have that laughter, like that funny meme, like, God, I can barely pay my bills right now, but that was pretty funny. Like, it brings some levity to life, and life always needs levity. Because it's never super great all the time. You're always going to go through hard times. And especially when it comes to like people being obsessed with politics, memes are a great way to bring levity. And the reason I say that is because even if you post a meme, like your fire, like the world, if someone's on Twitter who can't meme and they come into your comment section, which I'm sure this has happened to you, and they're like, This is the most ridiculous thing ever. Bidenomics is working great. We're all buying new Teslas this year. You're dumb. That is so disconnected, because they're yelling at a cartoon now. And that's what I love about it. It almost makes it untouchable, because you made a meme. It's like, yeah, it's a meme. Why are you freaking out? So even if people are like mad at this meme, you're like, dude, it's a meme. Now you look like an idiot.
I'm so glad you said that. And also part of it is, like I said, I like my memes that have a aspect of derision and sarcasm or clear mockery. And it's and part of that is because, like, I'm an apolitical person. I'm not in a political party. I know how emotional people are when it comes to politics. You know, we all know people just lose their minds. And most of my memes are geared towards like MAGA or like rhinos. So I have this meme where it's like Trump and Biden, and I have a list of things like that they have in common. It's like 10 things. It's like pro lockdown, pro vaccine, gun control, indicted like journalists, like massive amounts of debt and spending. So it's like, and part of that was, I'm good at one or two things. One of the things I'm good at is pressing people's buttons. Even in real life, I can like just know where to hide. So part of that meme was like, I'm trying to hopefully get like MAGA people to lose their minds about all these like, why, like you're saying basically Joe Biden and Trump are the same. Now they're not exactly the same, but Trump's the biggest vaccine pusher probably out there, pro lockdown, can't argue. So it's like you couldn't really argue with any of the points because they were true. He did push for gun control. He, Julian Assange was indicted. He spent like basically more money than Barack Obama. He's like anti-crypto. So all these things that I know would be like people, they're like, oh, I'm voting for Trump no matter what. And those same people will be complaining about rhinos, complaining about the vaccine. So that's part of the point. It's like, okay, so you're all these things you're complaining about, Trump did. So here it is very clearly. And then, you get the MAGA people and they're losing their mind. Like, oh, Trump didn't really do it. It's not really Trump's fault. He locked down. Fauci told him to do it. Or it's not Trump's fault about the vaccine. He didn't, he had to do what he thought was best. And stuff. And it's, and I'm just sitting here. It's, first of all, it's a meme. So calm down. Why are you mad? And all this stuff is actually literally happened. Same thing with Abraham Lincoln. I know people get so emotional about Abraham Lincoln. So I just listed a couple things that he actually did. Tried to deport blacks, didn't really free the slaves, killed his own countrymen. And people just get flooding, like, oh, I'm, you're trying to rewrite history. Oh, that's like 1619 project. You're like slandering Abraham Lincoln. Like, he literally did all these things. So part of it is to just show and bring out and it can be discouraging because just how emotional people get and they just ignore like actual like facts that happen. So while I do get a kick out of drawing people being upset about like a meme, a picture with words on it, it is kind of like, man, we have like a long way to go if like this meme is with literally just facts, a list of facts on it, is like enraging these people, then they feel like they're offended, or I'm slandering their messiah or something. So yeah, that's a big part of it too. And so I kind of lost my train of thought, but ranting about this, where was I?
I mean, yeah. basically what you're doing is a form of art. And that's why I go back to it, because what a good piece of art should do should tap into emotions, but also spawn critically thinking. So not just, oh, this makes me feel a certain way, but go, well, why do I feel a certain way? Like, that's what a good piece of art should do. I mean, that's TV and music, same thing. Like, it all does that. If it's a good piece of art, it should tap into your emotions and bring in some knowledge and wisdom and truth into it. So basically all you're doing, and especially if people are, so I'm with you on this. I haven't talked much about this on the podcast, but hero worship is something that I've always bumped up against in whatever culture I'm in, whether that's Christian culture, whether it's political cultures or whatever. The idea, and it makes me wonder why people are so easily caught up with the idea of, I mean, I know what biblically it's just idolization. Like, people like idols, you're going to have them. They fall into that realm so easy. I mean, even, you know, Moses goes up the mountain and 2 seconds later, you know, they're building a golden calf. It's like, dude, I was gone for like 10 minutes. What are you doing? Like, people do that and they're constantly looking to fill that with something. So hero worship and idol worship, people are so susceptible to that. And then when you show them like a mirror and going, hey, like what you did with the Trump, like, these are all true things. They're like, no. I mean, here's a list of excuses. Go, hold on. Sure. Hold your excuses. All I'm trying to do is just get you to think about it. Because if you think about this, then my job is done. Just pulling people away from any kind of cult is a good thing. Dude, you're kind of doing the Lord's work in multiple different realms. And that's what I love about it, because that's what good art is getting people. And even like, I don't always get all memes, but I just, one of them, I can't quote it, but the New Hampshire guys, the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire, they got in a big kerfuffle on Twitter like months ago. And I remember it being like,
every so often you see him.
It's hard. It's hard to pick which one they got in trouble with. But I remember looking at it and people were like, we understand what you're trying to say, but this was the wrong way to say it. And I was in the other camp going, no. I don't think there is a wrong way, because what they did is they didn't exaggerate. They just said something true and used, it's like using an uncouth example. It's like bringing up something. What's a good way to put this? I'm struggling with this. It's like saying something at the dinner table that's, you know, disgusting or gruesome. You're like, oh, not while we're eating. It's like one of those things. And it was a bit of a shock and awe that they did. I thought the tweet was perfect in the realm that they got people, because while people were talking about this, it's the right message, but we shouldn't be messaging it this way. The other half of the conversation goes, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean this is the right message? And it got the conversation going. And so, and I sat back going, this is actual art. Like, this is what you're meant to do. Maybe the messaging was a little bit hyperbolic, but it got people to think, which means it was successful regardless. Because people are going, yeah. Now they're asking, is this hyperbolic? No, now you're thinking about the messaging, which got you to think about what the message is. And so if people spent less time on going like, was this the right way to message this? What is the message doing? What's it saying? Because the whole intent is always prior to content. So if you're going to exaggerate, chances are you're not doing it to fake people out. You're getting them to realize it's exaggerated. And then they start to talk about it. Anyway, that was a long rant. But that's why I like the memes. And what the Trump and Biden example was perfect for that. Because there's people on, you could have hit both camps, both cults, the right and the left. And they're both like, no, Biden's not like Trump. Biden has regular size hands or whatever.
Yeah, I have one with like I have one with like the Republican Party and Democratic Party, same thing. Like, you know, I had one with Joseph Stalin and Abraham Lincoln, and that one got a lot of people mad. They were like, because one of them said communist hero, and it had like a check mark board, and like, oh, Abraham Lincoln wasn't a communist hero, losing their minds and stuff. Like, how could you like, you know, disrespect Abraham Lincoln like that? Yeah. Like, he literally was a communist hero. I mean, if there was a Curtis, and they had portraits of Stalin, Lenin, and the biggest portrait was Abraham Lincoln. And then also they get, he was like a, this is a side thing, tangent, but he wrote Karl Marx, pen pals with Karl Marx, basically. There was a Marxist professor who, when the Soviet Union fell, lamented, I think his name's Eric Foner. When the Soviet Union fell, he said, well, it's a shame Abraham Lincoln wasn't running the Soviet Union, because he would have sent the tanks in. He would have never let those countries have their independence. Like, why couldn't Abraham Lincoln have been in charge of things?
Wow.
So it's like, okay, yeah, communist hero, you know, and then that just, that was one of the ones like, yes, I know this is kind of like pressing major buttons and get some people triggered. So that's always important to me. And what you're saying about the New Hampshire guys is, the message was delivered wrong. Well, if we're too worried about like how we're getting a message across, that's kind of, to me, like a form of self like censorship. It's, oh, well, we can't offend. We don't want to offend this group, so we have to say it word it this way. Well, if what you're saying is true, maybe it's like slightly hyperbolic or a little, but the point of what you're saying is true and accurate. Forget messaging, forget people's feelings, say the truth. And that's what those guys do it so well. And then they had one, I don't know if you remember this one, when it was like the anniversary of John McCain dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah, I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was Meghan McCain crying and happy holidays. You know, that, like, to me, that's like the perfect, like, yeah, people were offended and all, like, oh, that's disrespectful. And stuff. John McCain's like not, again, a person you shouldn't, I don't respect. I don't think anyone should respect. Not a good guy, warmonger. Maybe it's whatever Maine or something, but I mean, we're not, again, that's like, now we're, that's when the right showed how they are so just as sensitive as the people they call snowflakes. I'm like, why are you, it's a picture. They're making fun of somebody, like, move on. And that kind of shows a problem with the right, that they're kind of upset when you make fun of like guys like John McCain and stuff. Like that. That's not a good guy.
Yeah.
So though I have no problem with any of their messaging. And it's a good thing to be antagonistic to a degree and to get the conversation started. And like worrying about like how we phrase things, because someone's, that shouldn't really be a consideration. Not saying there's no line ever, but for the most part, if what you're saying is true and accurate and you're not like actually outright slandering somebody, then just forget about messaging. Just get to the point.
I think that was a big controversy, because it was tweeted there, that the thing I'm talking about was tweeted from like their official Libertarian Party of New Hampshire.
Is that like the Joy Reid thing? Not the Joy Reid. Nina Turner?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. That one. I don't remember exactly the context of it. I just remember being like, that's rough. But, and I went back and watched the whole thread, but we don't have to go into it, but their thing was like, this is messaging, it's wrong. And I get that. Like, I'm all for it. I think, so to be an artist is just to attempt with the right intention of being an artist. That line is a thin line, the one where you're not supposed to cross. And the closer you get to it, the better of an artist you are. As soon as you cross over that line, you drop significantly further down. So it's a bit of a gamble. If you can really hone in on being like, it's like a good movie, right? A good movie should make you laugh and cry within 10 minutes. That's what a good movie should really do. Make you feel happy and sad, or like back to back. That's a real thin line to do. And you can do it and you can make it contrite and forced. And then it just makes it campy. And you're like, God, this is the worst rom-com I've ever seen. You know, if you're into rom-coms. But that kind of concept, that thin line is really important. And I think the more you do it, like you've been memeing for a hot minute, the more you've gotten, you're like, all right, if I go too far and I don't just press buttons, but I start slamming people's heads in, you lose the message, and it just sounds like you're just attacking. But if you're going, here's some truthful things, I'm just consider the fact that, you know, Trump calls it his vaccine. I don't know. Let's just talk about that real quick. And people are like, oh, but they have to think about it. And they have to go, yeah, you know, he does keep, and it's not like he did it and was like, no, I never did that. He keeps doing it.
Who am I not to give him credit? Like, I have one, when Trump signs these bills, he had his photo up and he's holding up the bill, right, with the signature on it. So there's, you know, that's a good meme template. It's just a blank one. And he's holding up the bill.
Perfect.
And I said, and I put, I'm the father of the vaccine. And I put, brought to you by Pfizer. And then, you know, people are like, oh, he's not the, you know, it was really Fauci. I'm like, Trump said he's the father of the vaccine. That's what he said. I didn't say that.
That's, he,
Like, he said, who might have deprived the man that this is your like hero, and seems to some people he's like a god to that degree. So who am I to tell him, like, was he lying? He's not. Was Trump lying when he said he was the father of the vaccine? Like, he's a bigger. He pushed the vaccine harder than Fauci, Gates, all these other people. So I'm not going to take away the credit that he wants. So then we can, you know, then I run with that one. And so it just, and that's just kind of the thing is just knowing how people are going to react. Like, I know if I tweet something like about Trump, I'm the father of the vaccine, then I get people, they're going to lose their minds and they're going to come in and call me whatever. Like, oh, well, how about, why don't you do Biden? What about, it's like.
Again, it's kicking a toddler on a playground.
You can do it. Like, if you want to go meet
that
Biden,
one doesn't
go
take
ahead,
much thought.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, and first of all, one, it's a picture. So, like, I'm not an emotional guy. So whenever I'm like tweeting or memeing, like, I'm never like, oh, I'm so angry, I'm going to really get like, I'm hoping that the people that support those politicians like get angry and get triggered and come in my comments, and then they boost it even further. So that's all part of the plan.
Yeah. There's two things, man, I want to talk about with that. But before I go into, I was apolitical for a long time, still pretty much kind of am. Just because I don't like to be easily fooled. So I'm already skeptical of anything. Anytime someone's trying to buy my attention, I get real nervous. I'm a big proponent of believing flattery is the tool of the devil. So if anybody's puffing smoke, I get real nervous around them. Because I know what my skill level, I know if I'm good at something, if you're really over exaggerating, like how great you are, then I go, okay, what do you want? And so I'm already a normal skeptical person. But when it comes to being I probably lean more right. And I bring this up because I probably fall into that camp more often. I'm probably more inclined to pick on the right. And I say that because when I worked in ministry a long time, in Christian ministry, I was way more concerned about helping edify Christians than I was about atheists. I was like, you're an atheist. What do I care about you? But if you're a Christian, you're doing something that doesn't seem to make sense or line up or could be dangerous, I was way more likely to call that out. And so do you find yourself leaning on the right, or do you find yourself, I mean, without any kind of weird spectrum of the Overton window moving, would you find yourself there, or do you lean more left and it makes it easy pickings, or how's
well,
that work?
I try to not play the title game for myself. Like, okay. I grew up in a like conservative, like evangelical, like community. So everyone in my family is Republican. They watch like Fox News. Like you're basic, like a Baptist fundamental, like Zionist Republican, like basically like the Speaker of the House. So you think Speaker of the House, like that's like the kind of community I grew up in. So that's the means, of course, I'm getting all the, and the school I went to was a private school attached to a church, and the school was like a K-12 school. So I was in that school my whole life. So everything I was taught was from like a conservative right wing, everything was from there. So that's why I like, and now that I'm like older, and I started like, cause I never really fit into any of the little, I was always like kind of like a contrarian and that kind of thing. And at one time I did a report on FDR just to like be like antagonize the history teacher, because everything is like FDR bad, Republicans good, you know. So like of course I know FDR wasn't good. I was just anyway. So I would, but now that I kind of maybe my brain's fully developed and I think for myself, and just seeing a lot of the stuff I was taught that was false from growing up, like about like the Abraham Lincoln or the war in Iraq or all this stuff, all the lies. I'm like, okay, so these are all lies. The people that I was lied to about, they don't really like admit that. Like, they don't really like. It's still hard to like have a conversation with people. They're so like, it's so into like the propaganda. So it's like, okay, like, I just want to like make up for lost time and one, learn the truth. And as I'm learning it, now I can like make better memes and just not people. I want to just like, to me, the right is like Sorry, I'm kind of going over the place here. So
no, you're fine.
So we know how like bad basically like extreme like leftism is like just the mind rot and this nonsense like Marxism basically. So like I kind of like a Sanders Spooner kind of view like you said about the Constitution, but about the Republican Party. So either the Republican Party enabled the kind of like environment and government we have now, where the federal government's basically saying that we should be like affirming child trans kids and surgeries and, you know, how bad everything, or they were powerless to stop it. So, and we're told by Republicans, like the GOP and stuff, like they believe in limited government, you know, they believe in freedom, like fiscally, they don't want to spend. Like, and so this is all, they just objectively just nonsense and lies and propaganda. Yeah. So like, I don't want people to believe that. Like, the Republican Party doesn't like believe in fiscal, they're not fiscally conservative. They don't believe in the really believe in the Constitution. They do when they're not in power or they're running for office, they believe in those things, or they say they do. So that's one of the main reasons why I started Trump derangement syndrome is a two-way street, okay? So you have the people on the left lost their minds. They think Trump's literally Hitler. And you have the people on the right who like basically turned Trump into God. And it's like, okay, we're going to pretend like he didn't do, like the vaccine's not his fault, the lockdown, he had nothing to do with it. All the rhinos he hired and endorsed nothing to do with it, all the spending. So, I just don't understand how, like, people are complaining about those things and still voting for the guy. Like, you voted for the guy that did that. So I'm just trying to, like, pierce through right-wing, like, these lies that the right is, like, believes in limited government, because they don't. They believe in limited like spending, because so to me that's like just as dangerous. Is you're lying, you know, all these people believe and they're using like God and religion as well to kind of justify some of this stuff. So I just want to like just kind of break through their propaganda and maybe turn, like, if I can come from the right wing, like the first time I ever voted and the last time I ever voted was I voted for Mitt Romney. And I was like, whoa, like now that I think, awesome. I don't want, like, if I can come out of there and realize, like, maybe the Republican Party isn't the answer. Yeah, maybe they're good on a couple things here and there, or some of them are. But by and large, it's a giant uniparty. I just want, hopefully, that's kind of the overall idea behind the memeing, is to just get people to realize the political party is... they're not your friends. The people in these political parties, they don't really care about you. They'll sell you out. They'll send you to die in a war if it makes them richer. And so that's why I go after the right more, is because that's where I came from, realizing how much I've been lied to and propagandized and believed. So, and I don't, when I have a young son, I don't want him, I want him to be able to get the truth right from a young age, and I have to wait till he's in his mid-20s before he realizes, wait a second, like, this doesn't add up. None of this makes any sense. I was believing the wrong thing for all these years. So that's where I'm at with that.
Well, that's a pretty empathetic take, to be honest with you. And that's kind of what I was bringing up, like, when I was in, you know, I would criticize Christians because I am one, and I care about these people. And that's kind of where I was asking you, because if you came from the left and you were like, I just like to dunk on Republicans, I was like, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds more like your Plato's Allegory of the Cave, where they're all watching shadows and you're on the outside going like, no, you need to be unchained. Come take a look. Like, this is what truth is. And you're doing it out of care, being like, I'm not looking to, I kind of am looking, like, I could see, like, I kind of am want to irritate, you know, hardcore Republican rhinos and MAGA people, but at the same time, it's kind of being like, I'm trying to push your button so you wake up. Like, it's trying to pinch someone to get them to wake up out of a coma.
Yeah, there's that. I will be honest, there is an element of petulance to it for me. But it's like, and even in my own family, I'm not saying that's the whole thing, but like, because I just know it's going to get a reaction out of people. So I'm like, okay, yes, like I know you're going to get, And especially now, even like with like the Israel stuff, I've been now shifting, because like I know how all the talking points with the Zionists, like Christians and stuff, and now since I know like how they all think and the talking points, like it makes it also even easier to kind of make targeted towards them. So like I don't know, like, this gets into another conversation about Christianity. Like, I've just been kind of, like, honestly, like, discouraged. I'm a usually positive guy, but, like,
this podcast is going downhill.
The amount of, especially with all the Israel thing and, like, how are you Christians are supposed to support Israel? So it's like, does that mean like just give them as much of our money that they want, or we just pretend like when they do something bad that doesn't happen, you know? So it's like, Israel one's a tricky one, especially when it comes to like, especially about my whole family and community I grew up in, their like loyalties there. I want to like press buttons and kind of antagonize a little bit, but I don't want to go so far as now like have like people I know like not no longer want to associate with me. So I guess they're like you were saying, like there's a line and not bumping up against it. But at the same time, if I'm being truthful, when you're making a good meme, if you're being truthful, like, and it's mean or whatever, like if what you're saying is true, like don't worry, just let it fly. That's kind of my motto. Yeah. So
that's a good motto. No, I'm with you on that. On the, just because I rarely talk about this, especially I don't do a podcast that often. But when it comes to the Christian Zionist thing, a lot of people that I run with are not dispensationalists. They don't look at the state of Israel like the way a lot of evangelicals do, where that there's a whole section in the New Testament about God coming back for his chosen people. They look at Christians being the chosen people, not so much the state of Israel. But even if you were, and this is where I don't get into this that often because I have a lot of people, I don't want them to not associate with me. But my personal belief is, even at the basic fundamental level, I can biblically prove why it's good to be able to criticize Israel, simply by the fact that the majority of the prophets in the Old Testament, that's what they were doing. Like, they were criticizing the people of Israel, but not out of mockery, for their own good. And of course, they died shortly after, most of them. But, you know, I'm saying, like, these are good examples to be like, hey, sometimes criticism isn't malicious. Sometimes it's edification. And sometimes it's good. And if you go, no, you better not say anything about it. And it's like, all right, well, now we're already off on a wrong foot. Because, and this goes back to the whole right-wing thing and their hero worship, when they're like, we should be able to mock anybody. And look at Fetterman. It's, you know, Uncle Fred or the Frankenstein. But as soon as you start, you know, attacking certain things that they're idolized worship, they get really heated. Like, no, you can't do that. And here's my arguments against it. And this is... But if I remember back in the, I don't remember, Charlie Hebdo was a magazine in France, and it got a terrorist attack because they put out a cartoon of Muhammad, and all the people on the right were like, what is this? You're going to kill people? Because how could you, it's just a cartoon. How can you get so mad at a cartoon? And then here you are making caricatures of the same, they're heroes. And they're no. And it's like, dude, this is how we should function. At least let me poke fun without getting up in your feels about it. Because if you're getting hurt over a cartoon, then there's a deeper issue that we need to talk about than whether or not this cartoon has an ounce or a pound of truth. Because I mean, and that's kind of the thing about most people when looking at the Hebdo thing, being like, well, you know, people make fun of Jesus all the time. And how are we supposed to react to that? You roll off. I mean, even the Book of Mormon. I don't even know if Mormons are, this is going to really piss off my audience. I'm not sure Mormons are Christian, but even the Book of Mormon, the head of the Mormon church came out, the ones the South Park guys did, and they laughed about it. And I was like, see, now you're in good sport. And that raised their credibility in my book, not in the Christian, just in general. And so I appreciate that. And I think if you can take a punch and roll with it, I'm not even that, I don't know. Maybe that's just a character trait of people being well-rounded and be able to, you know, take a blow and laugh about it and then look at a meme. If you put out a meme, and you may have, that I didn't notice, I didn't get it. I was like, oh, I don't know if I like that meme. I'll be like, okay, well, why didn't I like that meme? Did it not make sense? Did I not get it? Did it hurt a feel? And then I'll take a look at my own bias of being like, well, did Trump really say he's the father of vaccines? And that's an easy Google search. You know, or a CNN town hall or whatever, you'll see him say it like multiple times. So I think that's a good way to keep people on check, especially if you care about society and where it's going. And we can come to this. I was just thinking about 2024 is going to be a wild ride. It's already starting off that way. I would hope anyone listening to this, pay attention to the memes, because it's going to be the levity to a very serious political situation, because everyone's going to be overly serious. Everyone's going to double down on their idols. Things are going to get more, if they were bifurcated before, it's going to be bifurcated even more so this coming year. It always is. And I think memes might be like the life raft out of here, of having some levity, having some criticism towards your own thing, and being able to roll with it. And those who can roll with it, like it was the DeSantis thing I brought up earlier. If you can roll with a meme, even if it's against what you believe, if you can roll with it and go, well, maybe, oh, maybe, I don't agree with it, but that was kind of funny. If you can do that, you're already on higher ground. Like, you're good to go. And I hope that's what people come away with this. And I'll be watching you, dude. And you're doing the Lord's work. You're waking people up. You're Plato caving it. You're breaking off chains. People are starting to wake up from it. At least I hope so. And I'm gonna ride this meme ride out all year. And maybe I'll look into making a few of my own, but we'll see.
God, there's no better feeling when you see like your meme somewhere. You see either like a much bigger account sharing it, or you just see people like putting it, like Nikki Haley puts out a tweet about something, and someone posts my meme in the comments. Oh, I'm like, awesome. You know, that just feels good. Like somebody has my meme saved on their phone. You know what I mean? That's just a good.
I have a few. So that's fair.
So I'm gonna be doing plenty more as we roll into 2024. I mean, we just see in 2023 how much like this crazy stuff's happening. Like I can't even like keep track of all of it. And just yeah, let's have fun. We can't control what's gonna happen. Okay.
That's true.
Like God's, and another thing I was just like, okay, so I don't want to take shots at the evangelicals and stuff, but always saying this because I had this conversation with someone in my like even who I knew growing up in the evangelical community, and it's like, okay, there's no need for like consternation or like a lot of emotion going into 2024 because like. We, as a Christian, like you either believe God is in control of things or he's not. Things, that means I'm not in control, right? So that means we can't do anything about what's going to happen, whatever happens with elections or there isn't an election or whatever, like nothing we can do. So if God's in control, it means it didn't happen on accident. God's not, you know, oh, damn, like I can't believe I let Gavin Newsom win the election or Joe Biden win the election. So that's not a thing, right? So the sign of knowing that you believe that God's in control is not getting wound up or emotional about a meme or something that happens in the world or something that happens in government, because we can't control it. So that means God's in control of it, which means we shouldn't be getting angry or anxious or any of those things. We should just be going along with it, having a good time. And maybe I would say if someone's nervous about what's going to happen, try making them go to your favorite meme dealer, get some memes, try making some of your own, and that'll definitely make things a lot more bearable in the long run.
It's true. I agree, man. A spoonful of memes helps the truth go down. Really does. I should coin that. You should make a meme out of that.
It's more accurate than, and like as we were saying before, if you actually in information, like turn off the TV and go on Twitter and look at some memes from like, mostly like libertarians are the ones that have the best memes. There are some MAGA people that have some good memes making fun of like Democrats and stuff. So there's some good, but by and large, you'll get a better picture of what's going on in America, the society, the culture, the world from a meme than you will from any, Fox News or CNN broadcast or article or whatever it is. And that's, I 100% believe that that seems to be the case by and large. Like that's why I get my news from his memes. I mean, I think I'm pretty informed.
Yeah, man, that's so crazy that, and that's what I was saying about art, like memes being a new form of art. They're a new form of entertainment. They're a new, almost a new form of therapy, but they kind of are. They're kind of a white, nice white pill, or just to kind of get through the day. I follow a bunch of like dank memes and a bunch of different people, Declaration of Memes, he's on Twitter, or they're on Twitter, and they're hilarious, and I follow them, and every time I see them post, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good, and it's, sometimes I'm like, this wasn't that great, but, I mean, it's free, it's just a good laugh. Man, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we're gonna get. I know we're gonna get through this next year. It's just, I don't want people to be so discouraged. And that's why I like. My podcast is a mixed bag, but I always try to stem it around art because I still believe art is ahead of culture and culture's ahead of politics. So anytime people are like really into politics, I'm like, you need some culture in your life, and if you're into culture, you're gonna need some good art. Because that's going to really affect how you look at culture, and that'll affect how you look at politics. And then a lot of us artists over here, we're apolitical for a reason, because we're controlling the downstream to culture. Politics is a mile away. And so, and a lot of people who think that way tend to have a decent grasp of nuance. And if anything, God knows we need some nuance in our life. Anyway, dude. Thanks for coming on.
I just
want to
say thank you for having me.
Oh, what you got?
I seen some art. I guess you had that piece that Clint Russell has now. You did?
Yeah.
So that was like phenomenal. And then I guess that piece behind you, you did that too, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So that's art. That's art. Like, I can never do anything like that. All I do is take art existing pictures and try to put words on them that maybe make some of I do really appreciate some of the, I've seen some of your like Star Wars pieces as well. They're all, I mean, so yeah, phenomenal work that you do.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe
man.
You'll get into doing the Dune. Maybe you'll do some Dune pieces.
I do some stuff all the time that I don't know anything, dude. Just side note, and if you're listening to this, and I'd say, dude, I have an Etsy store. I don't know if anybody knows this. I sell art. It's on Etsy, and my piece that sells the most is this antique piece I did. It's a weapon from Warhammer for 40K.
Really?
4K? 40K? Dude, I've never played the game, don't know much about it, but I made this piece, and whatever that community, somebody found it and then spread it, because that thing sells like hotcakes. And I feel bad. I don't want them to know that I know nothing. I know it was a friend of mine who played. He was like, hey, can you do this piece? This would be pretty cool. And I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And lo and behold, it turned out to be my most biggest seller. So I need to make more of those. But yeah, dude, I do stuff all the time that I don't know. I don't know what I'm, you know, sure, whatever. Any kind of weird fandom, I have no idea what the fan. I have to Google it and do research, and then I'll do an art piece. But yeah, man, I appreciate that. I'm going to do my own. I've started doing like the one with Clint Russell has. I've started doing some more political stuff. I sent one to one of the Tower Gang guys just as a fun, because he had the QAnon shaman on and he loves Marvel. And so I did a Deadpool piece, but he's wearing the shaman hat.
Yeah. Oh my, that's amazing.
Yeah. I sent that to him. So I'm going to start doing, cause most of these libertarian podcasts out there, their backgrounds suck. They just suck. They plain suck. And so I was like, you podcast, like, what are you doing? You don't have a, I overdo it, granted, but I was like, I need to fill their backgrounds up. So this year I'm going to be doing more political style art and probably shipping it off to podcasters around here. The next one I'm planning on doing, here's a little inside baseball. It's the end of the podcast. Everyone's quit listening by now. I'm going to do a Ron Paul portrait, but it's a punk rock Ron Paul. He's going to have a mohawk and like tats and earring stuff. So that's a piece I'm going to do. And then I have a Killdozer that I got plans for. So that one's going to be pretty big.
Oh, I'm looking forward to those.
So we'll see. Yeah. And these are, and I mean, they're not really political, but they're just fun. And I was like, I'll do this. Help my libertarian friends out. But anyway, dude, how can people follow you? I mean, it says it right there.
On X,
but if people
Twitter,
listening, they're
Infinite
not.
Infinite Zeal, _ Infinite Zeal on Twitter. If you like, I post memes daily. If you have any sort of distaste for like government or war or being like, you know, media propaganda, you'll enjoy my memes, because that's all we're about, is making fun of those people. So yeah, come check them out.
Well deserved too.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you.
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming on again.
No, thank you so much for having me.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Pardonable Podcast. This was episode 59. I don't even know what I'm going to do for 60, but right now 59 is where we're at, and I had a great time. Joel, aka Infinite Zeal, is a great follow. If you're on Twitter or on whatever, all the socials, go _ Infinite Zeal. Go check it out. He's a good guy. He's been hanging with the podcast for quite some time. And so just good people. And that's the thing I like about having on the podcast, people that are doing stuff. That's number one. But second, if you can get somebody who's doing stuff that just has something to say, even better. And so I'm batting 1,000 over here with my guests. And I don't know what the rest of the year is going to look like. I think I'm going to have a few more episodes, maybe with guests. So keep tuning in. But as for this episode, I'm going to let you guys go. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for tuning in. Like and subscribe so I can live stream whatever random stuff. Maybe it's me painting art. I can live stream that on YouTube if I get more subscribers. So go do that. And then if you want to check out my art, it's you can go to pardonworld.com. You'll find everything there. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. And I will see you guys back here next time. Bye.